I would venture a guess that everyone listening to this program, they want to improve themselves. They want to make themselves better. They're probably lifelong learners that think that there's something to improving their health, because as they improve their health, that's going to be their ticket to going and doing and blessing and helping other people. Miss Shirley gave me a book a few years ago. It's called Get Well Naturally. And I still find myself fascinated by what I read. And I realize that some of this information may not be super duper relevant to you, but it's just interesting. And it just kind of, it gives you a little bit different take. But I found this from Fate Magazine, November 1963. And I realize 1963 was, let me see, would that be 50? Anyway, half a century ago, just over that. It says here, there is an old legend that a sty can be cured by rubbing a gold wedding ring over it. Researchers at the Mayo Clinic tried the treatment on hundreds of patients and staff members suffering from styes. And you're probably wondering to yourself, really, the Mayo Clinic? Isn't the Mayo Clinic the most phenomenal healing institution on earth? Pretty much. They certainly have, maybe their claim to fame is diagnosing very unusual conditions that no other physician can figure out. So I'm thankful for them. But the Mayo Clinic, guess what the success rate was at rubbing the gold wedding band on a sty? 92% of the styes disappeared. I don't know what the number 92% means, but it sounds like it was pretty effective, huh? Let me read a little bit further. Here it is right here. For bloodshot eyes. And you know, some people do have bloodshot eyes. Dr. Royal Lee, DDS, suggests the following. B vitamins, niacin, riboflavin. Of course, the foods that he would give. This is how he would get it. He didn't give synthetic B vitamins, niacin, and riboflavin. He gave carrots, brewer's yeast, sprouted grains, liver, and kidney. And you know what? Nothing's changed. Dr. Royal Lee has long since left walking on the earth. But the guy was a very special man. And that's what he would give people that have bloodshot eyes, liver, and kidney. Listen to this right here. I'll go on and read a little bit more. This is a section in the book about eyes and how to see better. But do you know what floaters are? You could be minding your own business, trying to read a story to the kids at night, but you see this substance or object that kind of moves across your visual field, and you think, great, that's very annoying. Floaters are fuzzy specks and hair-like objects you see floating before your eyes. Dr. Lee believes they are due to a failing pancreas. Now, just hold that thought for a second. In the world that we live in, quite often, we're not given this much detail. I know I'm making it sound simple, but you don't hear doctors say, maybe this is an early sign that your pancreas is failing you. Maybe it's not working as efficiently as it used to. And I think that knowledge is good, because when it's brought to your attention, you might ask yourself, well, is there something that I'm doing to wreck my pancreas? How can I make my pancreas function better? Dr. Lee believes that floaters are due to a failing pancreas, which is not secreting the enzyme chymotrypsin, which is necessary for the digestion of certain proteins. If these proteins are undigested, according to Dr. Lee, they may float into the fluid of the eye. Dr. Harvey E. White has another explanation. He considers floaters stray red blood cells. Some doctors believe they are due to a toxicity in the liver. Well, that's all fine and good, but obviously you want to be able to solve floaters, don't you? Now let me read this to you right here, because I think this is, to me, this is very, very, very interesting. And I realize you may not hear this information anywhere else, but then again, that's what I'm here for. I want to give you information that allows you to make a much better decision about how you should take care of yourself. I love this old information, by the way. It may not sound impressive because it's not scientifically up to date, because it's over 50 years old. But what if things really haven't changed? What if we have floaters in the eyes? And this is kind of an early warning system to tell us that we're getting excessive proteins in our blood. And those in turn can leak into the fluid of the eye, and they can give us visual disturbances. Well, who wants to have worse vision? Nobody does. Everybody wants to make it better. And this comes from Adele Davis. In her book, Let's Eat Right and Keep Fit, and I'm going to quote her, "When the diet is so inadequate that sufficient albumin cannot be formed." Now, albumin. When next time you go to the doctor and they do the standard laboratory test, let's just say that you go once a year and you have lab tests done, and this is your once a year checkup. Well, it's good to pay attention to albumin. Really, really, really good. Now, I would venture a guess, and I've read this many times from some of the old-timers, and I really believe it to be true. Albumin is one of the greatest nutrients and transporters of nutrients in the blood. And so when you have plenty of albumin, it's going to cause you to have very, very good internal hygiene, which means your blood's going to be clean. These are the people that are more physically fit as they age. It's just the truth. But I've read many times that the most intelligent people, those that have the best physical fitness, those that as they age, they look more youthful than what their years, you know, tell, those that live the longest, that all correlates to higher levels of albumin and lower levels of globulin. So Adele Davis goes on to say that when the diet is so inadequate that sufficient albumin cannot be formed, then that means waste materials are not completely removed from the tissues. So if this goes on for many weeks or months, this mild protein deficiency can occur. If the deficiency becomes more severe, the tissues are noticeably puffy, and the entire body is waterlogged. The ankles swell, especially toward the end of the day. You get a swollen face, your hands, you can't take your rings off your fingers. All that's because albumin is low and globulin is high. So I want you to do that the next time you go to the doctor. A more appropriate albumin to globulin ratio is 2.1. That's health right there. What is a globulin? Oh boy. That is the protein that builds up in the blood when your immune system, when your body is inflamed, when your immune system is contending with something that it can't resolve. It's very good to pay attention to these things, because what you want is you want to have a clean body. Now, I'll give you just a little free tidbit here. This doesn't cost anything. But fasting, you want a simple way where you can bring your blood back into a healthy balance. It's going to be hard to beat fasting, folks. What if you set your mind that you're going to skip the evening meal one day and breakfast the next morning and wait till you eat lunch the next day for your next meal? Well, that's fasting. Fasting creates the most interesting chemistry within the body to where your body starts to unburden. It scrubs the tissues and the cells clean. It removes waste. Oh, I see this all the time. I can tell you, from someone that's really, really set his mind on trying to study disease and disease processes, that would be me, not because I have a morbid personality, but isn't it good to understand why the body's not working right? Yes, it's real good, because we can foresee danger coming and try to avoid it, instead of pretending that everything's A-okay and just letting danger pass on by a disease form. But it's very, very good to understand how the body works. It's good for you to understand how your body works. But what's even better is that you come to terms with, if you're not in great health, let's call it for what it is, and let's set our mind on trying to improve that. When we fast, even for a short period of time, this is probably the most rapid mechanism that I know of that causes your body to throw off all the waste and debris that we've accumulated over a long point of time, or a long period of time is what I meant to say. If you want to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line officially open. I'm here today. The number's 903-586-5257. That's area code 903-586-5257. Let's get strong and healthy together. It's good to desire and want to improve yourself. One observation that I make all the time, and I almost get kind of excited about this, that when I hear a person say, I'm not going to put up with this anymore, I'm sick of it, I've had it up to here, then you know they have taken full responsibility for their health. And they finally have turned to where they're desirous to take care of what God's given them. I guess you could list all the blessings that God has set forth, but health, now that is a fabulous blessing, isn't it? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good.
Hey, actually, I'm calling for my daughter. She doesn't live here in Texas. She actually lives in Arizona. But I'm constantly telling her what Dr. Morgan said about this and what he said might be this. And
let me guess, when you call her today, she's going to say, Mom, I really want to know what Dr. Morgan had to say today.
No, actually, she did. She
wow,
said, I've got an issue, and I want or a question I would like you to ask Dr. Morgan.
I can't
so
wait.
Here I am, asking Dr. Morgan.
Yay, good.
Yes. She has, you said, she has a lot of, like, callus on her small toes, her little toes,
mm-hmm.
down right around the underside of the toenail. And then the middle toe on her left foot has a little numbness to it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what her question was. She said, ask Dr. Morgan what that might be a sign of or what he might say about that.
I have an examination table in my office, and sometimes I'll have a woman remove her sandals,
uh-huh.
and I'll examine her foot.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes when I run my thumb down the arch of the foot, not all the time, but with some frequency, I can feel these little bitty bumps that are forming the arch of the foot. And what I think is, I think I'm picking up crystals and waste that's depositing in the bottom of the feet.
Mm.
And these definitely impede nerve flow, and they just wreck blood flow and circulation. So this is general information. It probably is not relevant to your daughter because she's probably just a kid.
But no, she's not.
Well, you sound extremely young, and I like that very much. But what you'll see, is when the toenails begin to thicken even just a little bit, or they begin to yellow, that would be a sign that there's either very poor oxygenation to the toes, meaning there's not enough good circulation. And when circulation's poor, you can't wash the cells and the tissues clean, so you tend to accumulate waste. Now, with the middle toe, when it goes numb, I either think that or I think a vitamin B12 deficiency.
Mm.
And it's very, very common. And actually, that might be one of the early warning signs that there's a bit of an issue with B12 is you might experience some numbness in the toe. Now, I don't know anything else about your daughter, but is she perfect every other way?
Well, of course, your mother thinks she is, but...
I agree with mother.
She had been quite overweight, and she has lost a lot of weight.
Well, is she overly slender now?
No, she's not. She's not overly slender.
Did she lose weight by changing her diet and her lifestyle?
Well, that was part of it, in becoming more active.
Good.
And
but it wasn't because they did like a gastric bypass or a lap band procedure in the stomach.
No.
Okay.
No, but there's a little caveat to that. She has been plagued with migraines for years.
Oh.
To the point that she might have one or two good days out of a week.
Mm-hmm.
And they have put her through, as our system is set up, she had to take all these different types of medications, try them,
mm-hmm.
before they would let her try anything new
right.
that might help with that. And you're probably aware that one of the newest things that they're using for migraine control is Botox.
Mm, oh, lovely.
You didn't know that.
Are you kidding? Anything
I'm
they can
not
to
kidding
you. No, I know you're not, but anything to paralyze the pain fibers to shut them off.
Exactly.
Well, that's probably better than chopping a person's head off to end the migraine headaches.
Well, and when you've got one, you kind of wish somebody would chop your head off.
Well, that's right.
And so she's been, I mean, even one time she told me, she said, well, I'm going to start taking this particular medicine. They tell them what all the side effects possibly would be and blah, 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 blah. And it put her in the hospital.
Is she a heavy coffee drinker?
Used to be,
but
used
not
to be
now.
Fairly heavy. She's not now. No.
Does she drink soft drinks at all?
No.
My
she's actually pretty good about her diet. But they, they tell you drink coffee for your migraines.
Well, do you mind if I give you a little bit different take on this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, God is so good to us because he gives us all these signs and symptoms, even though they're very unpleasant, they're not fun to deal with, but they're warning us about where the body's out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it's impossible to have a migraine headache unless you have inflammation building up in the brain somewhere. Now, we can kind of speculate what the source of inflammation is, but really it doesn't matter what you say. You could list any disease for me with maybe very few exceptions. But we're going to find that the root cause of all of them is chronic inflammation internally.
Mm.
And so if we can figure out what the source of inflammation is, then that could be a godsend. And I'm just going to go through this quickly. I'm not saying it makes logical sense. But I've seen women have severe chronic migraine headaches, and all it was sugar consumption. That's all it was. But then again, doesn't sugar generate a tremendous amount of inflammation? Well, I think, yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some people, it's just giving up sugar for a short period of time. Others, it's easy to spot that they're consuming way too many artificial ingredients, and that could be everything from the artificial sweetener called Splenda. You've never heard of Splenda, have you?
No.
I always think that Splenda would be a really great way to wreck a woman's or a man's health. If you want to destroy your immune system, Splenda, yeah, that could be a pretty good one to do that. It's actually been shown to cause the thymus gland, which is the largest gland of the immune system, to atrophy and shrivel up, which means you could catch just about everything that comes along. Number two, I've seen women consume aspartame and have chronic headaches that never go away, and I've seen it with MSG also. I've actually had one child that if she has MSG, she has a migraine headache, so I've learned that the hard way. The number one food that chronically generates migraine headaches is going to be wheat. So just take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, she's gluten intolerant. So that's been taken out.
Well, then if she's gluten intolerant, there's probably three or four minerals or elements that I would really look at that are probably going to apply to her. Number one, magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
I almost always find when I do an analysis that magnesium is just woefully deficient in those that suffer migraine headaches.
Mm.
And that's why when we drink carbonated beverages that contain phosphoric acid, maybe lots of coffee, especially the wrong kind of coffee, the non-organic version, with a lot of artificial creamers and such, I think that kind of, I didn't say that coffee's bad. I think it can be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But she probably has a magnesium deficiency. Now, she's not ticklish at all, is she?
She's not a child anymore. It's been a long time since.
You mean you don't hold her down when you tuck her in at night?
It's been a long time since I tried to tickle her. I really don't know.
But the B vitamins are the other thing that I see over and over and over again. What she's saying is with a migraine headache, she's just generating too much inflammation, It's affecting the arteries and the blood flow. But to me, personally, I always looked at the gut. That's why they call the gut the second brain, because it produces all the compounds that your brain needs to be healthy and strong. So that would be my guess, because if she does have a B12 deficiency or a B vitamin deficiency, actually, I know this is going to sound like a crazy thought, but I'm going to say it anyway. Almost every substance that we need for tremendous health can be produced by the flora in the gut if they have a good environment to live in. Now, in the modern world, people consume food that's so heavily processed that we may not have good flora in the gut, or we've taken so many antibiotics. I actually think if there was one medication that I could give a girl that would completely wreck her gut, it would have to be birth control pills.
No, she can't take those either. So,
well, see, I'm learning more about her as you go. Maybe her system is a little bit more sensitive. And so we want is, what we want is tolerance. And of course, do you know what the number one predictor is if a woman's going to develop celiac disease? It's going to be the flora in the gut. And when they're deficient, it's more easy for a woman to develop celiac disease or a dairy allergy or dairy intolerance.
Well, apparently it's rampant because there are a lot of people that have it right now.
Well, I really think the migraines ought to be relatively easy to solve. Can I give you one homeopathic remedy that I'm in love with?
Sure.
I'm not saying it's 100%, but it's pretty close. It's called sanguinaria.
Sanguinaria.
Take that and tell me if the migraine headaches just completely disappear and never come back again.
Okay. But I'm asking another question. The programs that you have here, are they online? And do you record them where you can go back?
Yes, I'm recording them right now.
Okay, can you go back to KBJS and look at archives?
You're going to have to call and ask, because I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
if you have the date in mind, yeah, you can call them and say, because I catalog and date each one of them.
Okay, so it would be great if she could just listen to it.
So today
she lives in Arizona. So.
Well, what I'm going to do is Fabulous Mother Called About Her Daughter in Arizona. That's going to be the title of today's program.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. All righty. If you want to call me on the radio or call me on the phone and get on the radio with me, there's no one in front of you. You're the next in line. But just dial the number, 903-586-5257. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
You sound like a very bright, sunny man today.
Well, I just got up. I feel pretty good right now.
Are you always this happy when you wake up? You really are, aren't you?
Okay, yeah, we'll work with that.
Okay, good. Well, how's everything going today?
Improving. Not 100%, but getting a whole lot closer. Had a whole lot going on, so haven't been able to do all the things I've needed.
Well, but then again, but you're in your mind and heart, you want to improve yourself, don't you?
Always.
Good,
always, always.
Good, good. I appreciate
but
that.
I have a question for a family member.
Yes.
What can be done for rigors?
What do you mean by rigors?
Severe shaking, tremor.
Okay, but where is it, though? Is it all over
all
the body?
All over the entire body.
Okay.
My dad went into that a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago tomorrow.
Well, what I was going to ask is, did you know, did his pulse rate increase or decrease when he had the rigors? Or do you know?
I believe it increased because we ended up calling the paramedics. So,
well,
yeah.
Was there any chance when they got there that his blood pressure was higher than normal?
Yes.
Then most likely the rigors was due to completely too much adrenaline.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a person get scared?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. That happened to me this week with my 8-year-old daughter. There was a... Do you know what a wolf spider is?
I've heard of them, but I don't know what it looks like.
Well, this particular one evidently was a female because... maybe it was a male, but I didn't check. But she had only about 3.2 million babies on her back.
Got it.
So she looked like a big honking tarantula in the garage. And I was just walking through the kitchen. I said, Noli, I caught a wolf spider for you. And she went into rigors instantly.
There you go.
I'm guessing she doesn't like that. But no, it was most likely due to he had a huge excessive surge of adrenaline. Now, I don't know all the circumstances that led up to that. But we might, you might pick out two or three. Is there any chance he could have had an alcoholic beverage?
No.
Is there any chance he could have had caffeine on any level?
Not that I'm aware of.
Did he have any stress of any kind or any event that was stressful?
I wasn't home, but I don't think so.
Did his son call his father and say, I'm going to join a monastery in Belgium?
No, his son wasn't even home. He decided to go walking with his friends like you told him to
do. Oh, okay, good. That's great. So that didn't, like, shock him, did it?
No. He ended up on that following Wednesday with a pacemaker.
Okay. Well, see, the body will release adrenaline trying to correct something, but most likely that was it right there. But let's talk about the solution, okay?
Yeah.
Things that are very soothing and calming to the heart. Have you ever heard of an herb called hawthorn?
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it.
Hawthorn is one of the most amazing compounds that God has given us. Of course, it's found in nature, but hawthorn is very, very soothing to the heart to make sure it's calm. You don't want to get overly worked up. But you don't want to be so low that you never respond to any stimulus at all either, like a zombie or something.
Right.
But hawthorn, along with magnesium, are probably going to help him not overproduce adrenaline. And actually, it's going to act as a healing agent. I just hate to think that the only thing that we ever do, and this is not you, of course, but if all we do is just rely on medicine to change this system or to change that system or a pacemaker, man, it's good to eat good, high-quality food.
Mm-hmm.
But he's probably saying he needs a little bit more magnesium and potassium than the average man does.
Okay.
Now, I have an idea. Have you ever heard the term superfood sometimes to describe a food that's found in nature that you go, wow, this stuff has amazing properties?
Yes.
Well, bee pollen is probably one of those foods that I might put in that category called a superfood.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if your father would like to just eat or swallow a spoonful of bee pollen every day. You think he would do that?
Probably not.
Okay. Do you think
he'd take him to eat some honey?
Well, the problem is honey's probably going to be all the pollen will be filtered from it, unless the honey that you get is super dirty and dark looking.
That's what I try to get.
If you can hold a jar of honey and read Bible verses on the other side of it, that's way too clear. We want the kind that's really dark because it's got all that pollen and debris.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know everything about bees, and of course nobody does, but usually when they study people around the world that live a long time, quite often they're beekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just guessing they're eating the very thing that the honeybee goes out and finds and brings back to its hive. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I want to know your what you think about this. This is not a pop test. Okay, it is a pop test.
Okay.
Do you think the honeybees pick up toxic debris, or do they look for things that are very, very valuable and beneficial?
I'm going to go valuable and beneficial.
There you go. So if you can find raw honey that hasn't been filtered or processed. Nancy told me this week that when her husband spins the honeycomb to get the bee out of it, I mean to get the honey out of it, that he puts it over a screen to kind of filter it. But he's been saving everything that comes out on the screen and putting it in the jar. And she said it's real dark. And I asked her, I said, well, why don't you bring some of that to me? I want to eat it and see what happens. But bee pollen is one of the most fabulous remedies for a person that's aging because it has so many nutrients. And a lot of these nutrients are called gonadotrophins. They're very good at growing, or they're like growth hormone. They make repairs to the body.
Got it.
So maybe we'll go with raw honey and see how he likes that.
Okay. I can work with that. And just do that a teaspoon a day or something?
Yes, absolutely.
Super.
He's probably going to say, oh, great, you're going to make me take my medicine again. A spoonful of honey.
Pretty much anytime I come up with all that. Anytime I come up with stuff, he goes, I got to take another pill.
Oh, that's his first response, huh?
Yeah.
And you say, Dad, no, not a pill, a spoonful of honey.
There you go.
Do you know any kids that can resist honey?
Not really.
Do y'all ever take the good rolled oats and make oatmeal?
Not till it gets hot or cold. Not
no,
while
I understand.
Hot, no.
Well, that may be another 3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Everybody's been telling me, though, that we're supposed to have a really, really cold winter this year.
I've heard such a thing.
Is that okay with you?
Not particularly, but I don't have a choice.
Well, what would the winter be like in Chicago?
Much worse than here, but, you know,
so
if I had
comparatively,
my brother,
what now?
If I had my druthers, I'd rather have a winter like Hawaii.
Hmm, all right. I'm sure the cost of living is quite cheap there.
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Well, I hope that helps your father a whole lot.
Yes, I believe it probably will. I hope so. I'm doing improving a lot.
Good.
Just need to...
Well, don't you have confidence now that you know what to do, that you're going to get better and better?
Oh, yeah. And we'll hook up again soon.
Sounds like a winner.
Have a great day. Thank you for your help.
You
appreciate
too. I appreciate you. Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Alrighty, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. If you've never heard this program before, it's called Health Essentials, and I'm your host, Dr. Morgan. And anything that I can do to assist you or help you, I would love to do that. Now, let's go back to we have a phone call. That's more important than what I was going to talk about, butyric acid. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you very much. Thanks for your call.
All right. I've got a young girl here. She's 18. She's been diagnosed with hyperthyroidism.
Mm-hmm.
And she's taken a levothyroxine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 125 milligrams. And I'm just wondering what that is and how it can affect the body. She says that at times her arm... her left arm will hurt her, and she get real weak. And the doctor said that they probably gave her too much milligrams and told her to cut it in half.
Do you know whether or not she has any loose stools or diarrhea?
Let me ask her. Do you have loose stools or diarrhea? No. She said no.
Does she get nauseated easily?
Do you get nauseated easy? Yeah.
Then there's a really good chance that she's just given way too much. As far as you know, does she still have her thyroid gland intact? It hasn't been surgically removed, has it?
Has it been surgically removed, the thyroid? No.
And they haven't given her any radioactive iodine to kill it, have they?
Radioactive iodine or anything? Have you had any of that? No. No.
You know, I'm just going to cut to the chase and tell you what I see over and over and over again. If a woman has a hyperactive thyroid, the first thing I think of is she's got a wheat allergy. I know that's an oversimplification, but if I want her to put this to the test, at age 18, she can easily get on the internet and Google, is there any correlation between wheat and a hyperactive thyroid? And I would say, oh boy, I could tell you about case after case after case. Now, in saying that, if I had my way, I'd want to spend time trying to figure out why she has this imbalance and what we can do to greatly improve her. Now, I'm not going to ask her any questions about birth control pills and stuff like that, but there's got to be something that's causing some degree of toxicity. About 10 years ago, there was a study. Actually, it was in 2003, so that was 12 years ago. And they showed the highest correlation to young girls that had thyroid problems was the use of nonstick cookware. So like a Teflon cooking pan to fry an egg in, or Keflon or Ceflon, anything that has a nonstick surface. But my point is not to dwell on that so much as it contains a molecule of fluoride, and fluoride is one of the most damaging substances of all time to the thyroid. It will just wreck it. So they have that same compound in microwave popcorn, and when we use microwaves and we use black plastic spatulas, anything to flip food or stir food around. But I'm just trying to give you an idea. Girls, it's easy to destroy your thyroid with toxins. So we just have to find out what is the toxin in her environment.
Okay.
Does she drink like regular tap water?
Do you drink regular tap water? Very little.
Yeah.
Bottled water?
Bottled water that's been
yeah.
filtered. Well, the biggest concern I have is anything that's a significant source of fluoride. That is one of the easiest ways. This is probably not relevant, but you've heard of a drug called Prozac and you've heard of Paxil. They're used for anxiety and depression, but they have a huge amount of fluoride in each medication. It's just very easy to mess up the thyroid with toxins.
Right.
So, does she want to get on the phone with me or just talk through you?
You want to talk to her? I'm going to try. She's real timid, but we'll try.
Oh, no. Well, there's only you and me on the phone this morning. Nobody else is listening. Maybe two other people. Hi, dear. You don't have to be bashful or shy at all. I was just asking him, did your doctor, did he determine any reason why your thyroid is not working right?
It's because I wasn't taking the medication because it was making me feel sick and, like, break out my mouth.
Is that what happened when you, which medication was that?
That was, levothyroxine.
Did you have so you had an adverse reaction to it, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
There's two different thyroid medications that probably aren't going to cause any horrible problems with you. One is called WP thyroid, and the other one's called Nature thyroid. And you might take those in the meantime as we try to figure out what's wrong with your thyroid. But did you hear what I said to him earlier about any time that girls use nonstick cookware to cook food in? Could that be true for you at all?
I don't understand, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you can go ahead and put him back on the phone if you want, but thank you very much.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I know that you want to help her a lot, and that's great. We just have to figure out what's causing her problem.
Okay. All right. So a lot of nonstick.
If I could talk people into going to garage sales and buying the old Corningware or Pyrex cookware, that's got to be the safest stuff of all time to bake food in. And if you want to cook stuff on the stove, clean stainless steel. Not all stainless steel is clean, but a lot of it is. But it's going to be really hard to beat high-quality cast iron cookware because it doesn't leach all those toxins into the food that we eat.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, I've seen so many cases like this. This may be more of an autoimmune reaction, but I see wheat as being a big-time culprit.
Okay.
Is there any chance that she eats crackers or bread or noodles or pasta, things like that?
Do you eat a lot of that stuff? Yeah, she does.
Yeah, but see, she's 18, so she's probably gorgeous and beautiful and healthy on every other level.
Yeah,
this is the easiest time to get her well. If we wait till she's 38 years old, where she has 20 years of thyroid problems, that's going to be tough to correct.
Right. Okay. All right, I'll talk to her and see what's going on with her eating habits. It's probably more of her eating habits than anything else.
Well, some of the things that I would look at, if she's had any contact with birth control pills, those have been very, very famous for really messing up a thyroid.
Okay.
But there's a lot of drugs that can do that. But no, let me know and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your phone call, sir.
All right.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, there's plenty of time left in the program, 20 minutes approximately. So if you want to join me, please feel free to do so. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. All right, good morning. How are you today?
Hello there, Doc.
Excellent. How can I help?
I'm having some trouble with my knees. I think it's bursitis.
Uh-huh.
I've had trouble with gout for like, you know, since my early 20s, but this is lingering around, so I think I got on the internet doing some looking. I think it's bursitis. It feels like water on the knee. Does that sound right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, are they pretty stiff and painful to move?
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of an understatement, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. And I do construction work, so I'm pretty active, you know, so am I doing it worse by working, you know?
Yeah, but let me explain it this way. If we can, the number one predictor of gout in men is going to be the size of a man's waist. So I'm not trying to be difficult by saying that, but I can tell you, it's uric acid. That is the main problem. So anytime that a man that's prone to gout, if he consumes sugar or especially high fructose corn syrup, and that's usually what they put in packaged foods that are sweet or soft drinks. He's asking for that to occur. He just has a weakness. Number next, do you know what black tea is? Like if you went to any restaurant or fast food place, that's black tea. That has the highest natural concentration of uric acid. So I couldn't even start to tell you right now how many people I've seen that have become completely pain-free in their knees just by avoiding black tea or sweet tea.
Mm.
So that's an idea.
What about coffee?
Coffee's not a problem, but I tell you what, coffee is probably the highest chemically sprayed crop on earth. You just think in terms of there's like one crop duster after the other spraying the crop while they're growing. So if you could get organic coffee, that would sure make me happy. Now, what I would say is the number, and I realize this may not make logical sense because the knee is probably the most complex joint in all the body. It may not sound like a complex joint, but I spent a lot of semesters in school studying the biomechanics of the knee. Of course, that was in the middle 80s, so that may be wrong information now, right? No, it's probably not. But if your knees are swollen, yeah, the bursa, this is like a little fluid-filled sac that's going to be between the bone and the tendon or the muscle. And it just it helps reduce friction, and it kind of cushions so things don't rub together. You know, if I put my middle finger and thumb together and drag them, I can snap, right? Just like you can. Right. But you don't want to have all that friction building up in your knee. So here's, let me have a go at this. And I may do it rapid fire, so tell me if I'm going too fast.
Okay.
Always think that with bursitis of the knees, I want to start dissolving debris that builds up. And I know that's an oversimplification, but there's several ways you could do this. You could take the herb turmeric. You could consume what's called tart cherry juice, or some of the companies that make nutritional supplements, they actually make these anti-inflammatory compounds that are found in nature, and you might look and see, all right, this one contains ginger, this one has turmeric, this one has cherry extract, this has cranberry extract, this one has bromelain. Those are probably going to be a godsend. But I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to do everything within your power to heal your body and to go, wow, what has God done for me? Phenomenal. So even though this may sound crazy, but with bursitis, man, I am a firm believer in two or three different things. Number one, I would really plead with you to go get a fresh lemon at the store or lemons. It could be a lime too, but I want you to rub lemon juice all over your swollen knees.
Okay.
But how does that affect me if honeybees, while I'm out working on a house, start licking my kneecaps? Because they may actually like that. But if you'll start rubbing the lemon juice over that area of the inflammation, the bursa, let's see if that's going to act like a very good solvent to start dissolving all that stuck, horrible debris that you have in your knees. You got nothing to lose. If you tell me you're going to get 3 lemons a day or 2 lemons a day and rub them all over your knees and your shin bones and just let it dry to them. I know it's sticky. There's actually a little bit of sugar or glucose in lemons, not much. I mean, every time I consume a lemon, they don't taste overly sweet, but there's a little bit in there, so it's going to be sticky. But I want the lemon to start dissolving that debris internally, and it can do that.
Okay.
The other thing I want to talk you into, actually 3 or 4 more things, you got nothing to lose by trying to rub castor oil on your knees every night before you go to bed. The other oil that I know I've seen such interesting results with, it's got to be phenomenal. It's extra virgin olive oil. Give it a shot and see if your knees are in much, much better condition. Now, this last one is brutal. Nobody likes it, but I'm telling you, it can work. If you want to heal your knees, I would say a 5-gallon bucket. Actually, that may not be big enough for you because you're probably a tall man, aren't you?
No, not too tall.
How tall are you?
5'6".
Okay. It might work then. Some people have to use a 7-gallon or 40-gallon trash can, but you just fill it with water, and when your legs are in there, you start adding some ice to it. But when you submerge your leg in an ice water bath, you can build up to it slowly, but the longer that you keep them underwater, your knees will start to release what are called heat shock proteins. Talk about a fabulous system for healing and repairing, but you've got to increase blood flow. Right now, you've got too little albumin in your blood, too much globulin that it produces inflammation. That's one of the reasons why when men fast, their knees start to get better. What do you think about what I'm telling you?
Well, what I'm wondering is, do all this, do the same thing, or is each different treatments to try each day?
Exactly. Well, you could do them all at the same time if you want, or you could take them, you know, piecemeal, a la carte, all by themselves.
Yeah. Whatever work, I'll do it.
Well, I tell you what, that's the way that my brain's wired.
Yeah. I thought it was gout. I got the endomycin for gout, you know, just take when it flares up and it goes away.
Yeah, but that particular, that drug right there, there's nothing that will cause destruction of your hips and your knees like that drug does. They'll wear out 10 times faster.
And I ain't never had to take this medicine but like 3 times in the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, it's the people that take it every day that just destroy their body. You haven't done that.
Well, here lately I've had to take it every day, and it's not doing any good. And I got thinking, this is not gout. It's got to be something else. So I did some research, and last night, and then I said, I got to call in the morning. I got to call.
Well, the number one remedy that you're going to find that's available over the counter, like at health food stores, is going to be celery seed extract and tart cherry juice. If you'll try those along with a lemon, that actually starts to dissolve the uric acid crystals. Those things look like knife blades under a microscope. So every time you move, it's like you're getting jabbed and poked by sharp spikes.
Believe me, yes, sure it does.
Oh, it's brutal. It's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever seen a person in more pain than with gout. It's got to be the worst form of arthritis of all time.
The only blessing I have with gout is that it comes and goes. You know, in my case, it does.
That's a good sign. Well, what I'm going to say is I'm going to say it differently. I'm going to say your body rises to the occasion and it heals and overcomes. And that's when you're free of symptoms. But when you tip the scales the other way, like maybe drinking too many soft drinks or eating too much sugar or not drinking enough water to wash your body clean, that's when you're going
to
have
ice cream.
You mean that's your one weakness that you have?
That's one of them, yeah.
Oh, boy, I knew that this is going to be a dark, dark phone call. I didn't realize this dark, though. Wow.
Yeah.
But you know what? On the upside, Bluebell has been out of business for a while, so you've been free of ice cream, right?
Well, I found others.
Oh, no.
They're not as good, but they're...
Okay, well, just tell me from your personal experience, now that Bluebell is not available here in East Texas, what have you gone to?
Golden Brook.
See?
I live in small town USA, and what we have is, you know, Brookshire's or
yeah, that's
Walmart,
right.
So I had to go to Walmart.
Where do you live?
Quitman.
Yeah, well, whatever you do, do not go to Brahms and try theirs. It's evil.
Where?
Brahms. Do not go.
You'd
have to go all the way to Terrell to get that, though.
Yeah, Sulphur Springs. Now, we have a Walmart in Mineola, but this is where we go.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Brookshire's equipment.
Well, if you put all these things to the test, actually, do you know what I would recommend as far as food goes? I'm a firm believer in high-fat meats when it comes to gout and arthritis.
Really?
Yeah, I really am. So eggs, they're 65% fat. If you told me you wanted to eat a ribeye steak tonight that was just very tender, it was easy to cut, easy to chew, I'd say go for it. But what I try hard to refuse is the sugar. Refined sugar and high-fructose corn syrup will drive this every single time. And really, your body's telling us the kidneys aren't in good shape. We need to improve your kidneys. And so you improve your kidneys by avoiding sugar. There's not many things like soft drinks.
My lower back hurts sometimes.
Well, if you decided to fast just from sugar, let's say that your wife or whoever cooks you makes you fresh salads and you have a steak for supper and you eat, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't refuse zucchini or avocados. Mm-hmm. If you ate those, maybe your wife will make you chicken salad for supper night, and she'll cut up some celery and stuff like that, onions in it. That doesn't cause gout. That reverses it. But it's the sugar. If you fast from sugar and take it halfway seriously, you'll tell me the pain begins to dissipate and go away. But start rubbing olive oil on your legs. Now, do you normally do any breakdancing moves on the kitchen floor? Because you might slip and slide if you put oil on there.
Right. Yeah,
or if your wife hops up on your knees like she normally does, she may shoot off the other way because your knees are so slippery. I'm not responsible for any of that, okay?
I may have to skip my aerobic swimming lessons for a week or two. But
just for a week or two.
Right.
But you know what? That oil rises to the top. Just like yes, you, sir. You're the cream of the crop.
The cream of the crop. And what about milk? Would that hurt you in place?
Well, the milk, I see that as being problematic if it's pasteurized milk or yeah. homogenized, but if it's raw milk, I usually don't have a problem with that, seriously. Whole milk that's raw.
All right.
That's the reason God made Jerseys and Holsteins and yes. Guernseys.
Not Borden. All right.
Well, well, it starts out good, but they find a way to mess it up.
Yeah. All right. I still think, what about exercises? Using it?
Yeah, well, you do the very best you can, but you may have to just ice your knees every night when you get home to reduce the inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
I probably shouldn't say this, but my wife is not listening right now, so it doesn't matter. But she actually smacked both of her knees on the concrete when she tripped the other day in a store. And I'm telling you, I almost had to carry her out of her car to get her in the house. And but you know what? When you've got kids that love their mama, they said, "Mom, let's get ice packs for you." She never sits down, but she did that time. But I tell you what, ice is a godsend.
Okay.
But you can try any of these things piecemeal or a la carte, or you can do them all together. But to me, when you do everything that you know to do to help yourself, that's when things start to heal rapidly. And there's no reason why you can't have a fabulous set of knees again. It's just going to take some work.
All right. I sure think I like the sound of that.
Well, and you like to work anyway. Aren't you a hard worker?
Yeah. I do construction work and everything. I'm needing to mow right now and do work outside.
Is it a push mower?
Yeah.
I can see why you don't want to bend your knees for that.
I've got both, but I need to use that push mower in places.
Well, let me ask you a question. What's harder for you, walking on a flat level surface or walking up a ladder or going downstairs or down a hill?
Down the ladder and the hill. Real painful. Yeah, a ladder, a lot of times, do one step at a time, you know.
You get
straight again.
One of the original names for castor oil, they didn't call it castor oil, they called it the palm of Christ oil. I'm thinking there's a pretty deep meaning behind that, but if you will go get some castor oil and olive oil and start rubbing it up and down your legs, let's see what happens.
Okay.
I want you to rejuvenate and have a great set of knees again.
Yes, sir.
Because you need to go dancing, right?
Yeah, I do a little break dancing that.
Okay, well, just be careful with the olive oil. It's pretty slick.
I got to go down to disco, you know.
Well, let me know what happens, all right?
All right.
Thanks a bunch. I appreciate your phone call, buddy.
All right, God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open. The number's 903-586-5257. You just can't be overwhelmed by the complexity of what's going on. You just have to tackle it piece by piece and get well. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
I have questions. I'm well.
Good, sure.
I have a question for my husband. And he's not listening, so...
I have complete liberty to say whatever I want, right?
I'm going to try to remember everything you say. But he was telling me this morning, he's been dealing with hemorrhoids really bad this week.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only getting worse. They're not getting better.
Well, they'll be gone tomorrow.
Oh, I hope so.
All I want you to do is just go take a fresh lemon, squeeze the juice on a very, very clean washcloth, you know, made of cotton.
Yes.
And if he will just pack that over the hemorrhoids, it will pull them right back in place overnight. Now, I didn't say that he's going to say, "Oh, this is really great. Something's between my cheeks. I can feel it there." Well, but that the lemon juice will cause them to draw right back in place.
Okay.
It works better than anything that you can buy over the counter. You can go get those medicated wipes with witch hazel. You can get the Preparation H. Oh, that's just a big bunch of baloney.
Okay.
Although, I did see a man one time brush his teeth with Preparation H accidentally, and I don't think that went so well. But the reason that he has hemorrhoids is there's too much back pressure on the arteries. It's called the hemorrhoidal plexus. That's a grouping of veins or vessels, and they flow right back to the liver. So if the liver is a little bit congested or there's a little bit too much dirt and debris in the blood, that's where hemorrhoids are going to form. Now, does he have his gallbladder?
Everything is still intact.
Okay, so he has all the organs that the good Lord gave him, right?
Yes.
Well, I know I just jumped out there, but do you think that he'd be willing to try to take either some sterile gauze or a washcloth and put lemon juice, just straight lemon juice? Now, yes, it is possible if there's a little crack or break in the arteries, that could sting like hellfire for about 15 seconds.
Well, I was exploring, and whatever, that I even mentioned tea tree oil this morning.
Yeah.
I said it'll sting like the devil, but better than a scalpel.
Well, I don't know if the devil stings, but I think I know what you're referring to.
Yeah,
you're right. And you know what? I think he would be so amazed if he tried this technique, because it would give him tremendous hope. He goes, wow, look at how rapidly I heal. Now, the other thing that I would say, would you agree with me that maybe we don't give lemons enough credit for having vitamins in them? Have you ever heard of vitamin C before?
Well, he cuts lemons into his water every night, every day, you know, when he gets home, as soon as he gets home and puts the supper.
Well, see there? He knows for a fact these are good things. He's trying to bless himself, right?
Right.
But he probably has a little bit of vitamin C deficiency still. So if you'll just try the lemon juice on a clean washcloth and apply that directly onto the hemorrhoids, I bet you anything, they'll be right back in place tomorrow morning. The other thing that I would probably do, I would probably have, and there's a lot of ways to do this, a lot of ways. But you know what flaxseed meal is, don't you?
Yes.
It's very mucilaginous. It's insoluble fiber. A spoonful of that could really work wonders for his gut and for the inflammation. Number two, I kind of like what happens with chia seeds.
Okay.
When I was a boy, they had the television commercials about the chia pets.
Uh-huh.
You could get the terracotta and put the seeds on top, and it would grow sprouts.
Yes.
Same thing, but we want to get the seeds and just put them in a glass of water and drink them down, just a spoonful.
Okay.
And that's going to really, really lubricate his colon and probably clean a lot of that debris out.
Okay.
Now, is he prone at all to constipation, do you know?
Yes.
Okay, so that's probably the reason why he's got such an issue down there. So the flaxseed meal and the chia seeds, which those are both easy to come by. I mean, a big honking bag of flaxseed meal is what, maybe $6 tops?
I've got some in the kitchen.
Now, the chia seeds, those can be kind of expensive unless you go to someplace like Costco, where they're a lot cheaper there. But try them and put them to the test. But just give him plenty of water to drink. If you say, let's go for a walk every evening, and let's see if he's not better.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for your phone call. Have a good weekend, ma'am.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. I don't know when the program ends. I'm going to find out right now. Okay, it's going to be over in just a few seconds. You're listening to KBGS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.